This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docter and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through here in week 9 of the PGA Tour season. Charlie, how you doing this morning?
You know, today is an interesting, spring is starting to, get here.
Cold weather's behind us, Charlie.
I'm not sure about that.
Got some good golf in towards the end of this week.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of, windy days. That wind comes from Oklahoma. But, watching golf on television is good. But I like being out on the golf course.
Yeah, and the last 2 days have definitely provided some opportunity for that.
So I'd like to tape it and then watch it later.
Yeah, no, it's there's a lot of good ways to digest it. You can tape it. The PGA Tour does a great job, wrapping everything up, putting it on their website, kind of a shortened highlight package. So that's good stuff. Charlie, the PGA Tour has started the Florida Swing this week at the Cognizant Classic at the Champion Course at PGA National. The biggest story so far has to be the low scoring. You've played this course many times. Did you ever think 59 was in the cards?
No, I never thought a 59 was in the cards at
PGA National.
It's a difficult golf course, especially in the spring with the winds. You don't know where the winds are coming from. They can come from the north. They can come from the south. But that round of golf that was executed was incredible.
They've been making a big deal that the rough and the fairways are no longer 100% Bermuda. Been using the term overseed a lot, Charlie. What does that mean?
Overseed is a product of Bermuda goes dormant. So that means it's not going to grow in the winter. So that course is going to be open all winter. So they've got to overseed the greens and then put a little color into the golf course with overseed. And then it does, help the golfer. And so overseed helped the chipping and pitching, especially with these good players. So it be what it may, that's a product of weather.
And if you end up in the rough off the tee, an overseed rough, it seems like the percentage of catching a flyer is a lot less.
Well, I've never been able to control a golf ball out of Bermuda overseeded rough. And because it's, and the, a lot has to do now with the grooves on the club. I mean, they're pretty sharp. And the speed at which these guys swing the club is a lot faster than I ever did. And so when you get that speed, you cut through the grass easily. You put a little more spin on that ball, and the ball is a little more controllable.
Yeah, the broadcast and a lot of the media, they've talked about how easy this golf course is playing. Charlie, I played PGA National in a tournament 3 times as a junior, and I didn't see anything easy about it. Now, I don't care if it's playing soft or, they had rain earlier this week. I mean, that is not an easy track. Typically one of the top 10 toughest courses on the PGA Tour.
The par threes are very demanding. They're really tricky. Bear trap is very challenging. And so it's a beautiful complex. They got 72 holes there. It's magnificent.
No, it's gorgeous. Jake Knapp is your leader. 59-70 were his opening 2 rounds. He leads at 13 under par. Matthew Pavon, last year's Farmers Insurance winner, he's in solo second at 12 under. And Michael Kim, Daniel Berger, Doug Gim, and Jesper Svensson are in a tie for third at 11 under. 5 under was the cut line this week. It's the lowest cut line we've seen since the Black Desert Championship in Utah. Back in the fall, 67 pros and one amateur made it to the weekend in Palm Beach. That one amateur being Florida State sophomore superstar Luke Clanton, who we'll get to later on. He earned his PGA Tour card yesterday by making the cut. But Jake Knapp shot the first sub-60 round in a Florida PGA Tour event in the opening round at the Cognizant. Charlie had to tell me that one yesterday. I didn't know that there's never been a sub-60 round fired in a Florida PGA Tour event.
In the history of professional golf in Florida, you know, you have six cities that have tournaments,
yeah.
and so much golf is played, but that's interesting that's the first time 59 has been shot on any tournament course in Florida, let alone PGA National.
Jake Knapp is your leader heading into the weekend. He won the Mexico Open last year. That was his first PGA Tour win, and he's 1-for-2 in converting 36-hole leads. Converted one in Mexico and then had the 36-hole lead at the Byron Nelson last year there in Dallas. Couldn't come up with the win there at Craig Ranch. Let's hear from Knapp after that first round 59.
Of the card? Yes.
Let's
see what I got. You got it. Tell me where to send it.
All right, a little back noise there from the audio I got from the tour, Charlie. You know, Knapp talked a lot about how he really didn't have an idea of where he was in the round until about 16 or 17 and knew he had to birdie the last two holes for 59, but really lost himself in the round, didn't quite know where he was, Charlie.
I think that's the way he plays. Yeah. You know, he's cool, calm, and collected. He's Mr. Cool out there, and he looks good. I think he's a player that's going to win this year and probably win a major, but the one score that surprised me, but you know, par threes are difficult for Jordan Spieth.
He's back, Charlie.
But he makes a triple on 17. See, that's the magic of this golf course. You can make a triple easier than you can make a two. You know, and I'm really ashamed, not ashamed. I was really surprised that you know that he went, you know. Bogey on 14, bogey on 15, birdied 16, and then on 17 he makes a triple.
Yeah.
Then he birdies 18. So, but I want Jordan and to be really spot on for the Masters.
Absolutely. You know, he's 7-under right now in a tie for 25th heading into the weekend. Game looks good, Charlie, hitting it well off the tee, putting it a lot better this week. He's 20th in the field in putting going to the weekend. Iron play needs to get a little sharper around PGA National. Lost about a shot to the field as far as the iron play. When you look at his swing post-wrist surgery, are you liking everything you're seeing?
I think it's the best it's ever been.
Wow.
And as far as the beauty of the motion, it's spot on plane. It's not anything contrived, so I'm expecting big things from him this year.
And by the time we get to the Masters in April, he'll be peaking, you know, right up until then. He's trying to play as much golf as he can. This is his first time playing the Cognizant since he played the Polo Junior back in the late 2000s.
Yeah.
So, great golf course, championship golf course. A little bit more on the conditions. World number 62, Billy Horschel, is in a tie for 35th at 6-under. Heading into the weekend, the 8-time PGA Tour winner shot an opening round 66 and had plenty to say about the gettable scoring conditions in the opening round.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there was no wind.
All right, Charlie, too much back noise with the audio that I cut today. But, Horschel was not thrilled about the lower scoring, I think, on the PGA Tour. Had some questions about why they wouldn't play at 100% Bermuda. And, you know, he was upset, Charlie, about the scoring conditions. But once again, you know, 12 under par heading into the weekend, it's not the lowest we've ever seen. I mean, it firmed up a little yesterday.
And if the wind comes up, it's a different golf course. So, you know, they overseed at Augusta. So I think overseeding here is smart.
Yeah. What, looking forward to Augusta, I know your guy Angel Cabrera played the Chubb Classic last week. How's his preparation looking for his first trip back to Augusta here in a few years?
It's going slower than I thought earlier in this spring. And traveling back and forth from Argentina, but I think he's going to play now from now until Augusta. So he'll be in good shape.
That's good news. That's good news. You know, more on Knapp, Charlie. You know, we've really heard a lot about this guy over the last couple months. He's been playing well to start this season. You know, he hits a ton of iron shots, you know, well under 100%. He's always flighting everything around, keeps the driver low, but can hit it a mile. You know, as far as the average golfer at home, you know, swinging out of their shoes with the 9, 8, and 7 iron, what's something they can maybe take away from Jake Knapp's game this weekend?
Well, you know, we're lucky we got speed limits on the freeways. You know, it's pretty bad sometimes, but you got to have a speed limit on your golf swing to be able to control the ball in the fairways and hit more greens. And it's tempo, timing, and rhythm, and it's a way that you practice. You can practice three different speeds. Take three different balls and hit one. Say if your stock 7-iron is 150 yards, hit one 7-iron, 145, 155, and 150.
Yeah.
And vary the feel, and you'll become much more controlled golfer, and you're going to shoot a lot better numbers. But it's also, I'm sitting here watching Jordan Spieth's putting stroke. What, boy, that's magnificent.
20
and he's, and he's got a good tempo, timing, and rhythm. His swing, you know, he's a putter like Ben Crenshaw. They hit the ball and it makes the ball roll for a long time, but it doesn't look like it's moving that fast. But it's a solid hit and the ball is rolling end over end. So if you can accomplish that, you're going to, you know, shoot a lot better score.
Is that coachable?
Some people.
Yeah.
Some people are really their nerves aren't what they should be, and then they're a little out of control, but if the people will do some drills, you know, when you hit a 3-footer, hit a 3-footer that drops just over the lip of the putter, hit another putt that goes in right in the middle, and then one that bounces off the back, and that will get your feel for the speed at which you want to swing the club. And I guarantee you want the one that just slips in, and that makes that hole much bigger.
You want die speed at the cup.
Yeah, die. Yeah.
How about, Charlie, how about Ricky Fowler and Zach Johnson in a tie for seventh? Two names from the past there. You know, Ricky has not had the best start to this spring. You know, he had some good results in the fall, finished fourth at the Zozo, but game has not been there to start the spring. You know, this is a tournament, the Honda he won back in 2017. And, you know, we'll talk about it later on the show, but, you know, Jordan and Ricky, two players that are not in next week in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, but good to see Fowler back in the mix, a good fan favorite in the area.
Yeah, he is. That's right. He's sleeping in his own sheets this week. Yeah. Lives right down the corner from the golf course, and I think, you know, he wants to get back in the fray. He's kind of screwed off for the last 4 or 5 years, and that's fine, you know. But not now, getting close to 35, he's got good 5 years where he can win a major. I mean, I guess you can call it, he won the
Players. Contended at a lot of majors in that 2015-2016 range, but
I just like to see that green jacket on those orange pants. It looked like a popsicle.
All right, we got to take a quick break. After this break, we'll talk about Luke Clanton earning his PGA Tour card yesterday, and give you a little bit more on where the favorites are at heading into the weekend as far as Palm Beach is concerned. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. Back after this. We fingers in
the honeycomb. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Charlie, did you catch that the playoff last week at Vedanta for the Mexico Open?
You know, I sure did. That was I enjoyed watching that whole tournament, but then the playoff was magnificent, you know. The long and short of it,
yeah.
And I didn't see there was any way that the kid, the long hitter, was going to lose that playoff, but the other guy had the magical touch of luck. You know, he hit a ball that went out of bounds for about 30 seconds and then popped back.
How about that?
He had a monkey in there throwing the ball back or something.
31-year-old Brian Campbell, Charlie. Yeah. It had been 7 years. You know, he earned his PGA Tour card from the Korn Ferry Tour last year, but he's 31. He was on the PGA Tour about 7 years ago and then had to grind it out on the Korn Ferry Tour, earned his card back, my apologies, and now he's going to be at Augusta in April. And that playoff was something else. I mean, they went back to the par 5 18th.
Yep.
Pat Geeter had the advantage with the distance. He was sitting inside 220 yards for his second shot on both playoff holes. And, you know, they tied the first one. The second playoff hole, I mean, that tee shot you were talking about, block, push, cut, looked like it was off the planet, Charlie. And it ended up coming back into play about 311 yards out. And he really outplotted, you know, everyone around that golf course. I mean, not the longest hitter in the world at all, Brian Campbell. So it's good for
him. The conditions of the golf course really look good. I love Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. That's, to me, one of the nice spots in South America for golf. Weather is perfect this time of the year, and the conditions of the golf courses are magnificent, and the golf course really showed well.
It's been a good addition to the schedule here over the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, you'll have, you know, as well as the Arnold Palmer Invitational next week, you also have the Puerto Rico Open, which is going to be the secondary event. So Tour heading back down there, at least for the kind of the middle to bottom level of the PGA Tour. As far as, you know, other storylines over the first two rounds, amateur Luke Clanton is in a tie for 10th at 9-under. He posted rounds, posted a 5-under 66 yesterday to make the cut and reach 20 points to earn PGA Tour membership. A sophomore at Florida State, Charlie. I mean,
well, but I salute the powers to be at the PGA for making decisions like they did with getting ready the golf school and giving them a chance to play their way on into a PGA Tour card. And this kid is for real. And so congratulations.
They gave him, you know, 3 or 4 exemptions last year, and it seemed like he took advantage of all of them. Uh-huh. Made the cut at the U.S. Open, top 5 at the John Deere Classic. Really outstanding kid with a great head on his shoulders, and he becomes the you know, second player to earn his PGA Tour card through these PGA Tour University rankings. Gordon Sargent was the first, and Clanton will be eligible to accept his PGA Tour membership in June of 2025. Where the game is going, you know, he's a little bit different, Charlie. He's not hitting it off the planet, but just an unbelievable short game. Yeah. I mean, chipping and putting around the greens is really off the charts for him. So saw Pat Geeter last week, the next generation of distance. Clanton, a little more of a total player.
Yeah, a great player. A great player. And where did he go to school?
He's at Florida State right now. And
the coaches are doing a magnificent job. Yeah. I mean, I'm experiencing that just watching my grandson improve his game and the work that the coaches do for the players. And they really get him prepared, you know, not only for golf, but also for education. And so the mind is really working when you play college golf.
What you're seeing with your grandson, Charlie, there at TCU, what are some of the main differences you're seeing with the way TCU golf is managed versus, you know, when your daughters were playing collegiate golf at Texas A&M?
Well, the quality of the programs each year get better, and the budgets for the kids are better, and they're able to travel. So they're not only learning how to become an engineer or a business person, they're also disciplined in all of their each day of college, and that's what's really magnificent. They're getting up early, they get their practice in, they go to school, and it's really, really expanding their mind, and that's golf, and you got to think your way around life.
Yeah, in the same way.
Especially on the golf course.
You going up to any events this coming spring?
Well, next week, the University of Houston is hosting Big 12 golf out at Golf Club Houston. I'm going to see that, and then I'm going to try to go to out to the West Coast to see Charlie play at Stanford.
It's amazing they still have that college event there at Golf Club of Houston. You've watched some incredible players win that tournament. Anthony Kim, and the list goes on. That's a great championship golf course. It's a shame Liv is not going back to Golf Club of Houston.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with those people. I mean, gosh. Darn.
I thought they signed a three-year contract, Charlie.
So did I. So you just never know. I'm going to have to ask the president and see what they did to him.
Yeah, but great college event nonetheless. Been going on for a long time.
Yeah, I started it.
You did? Yeah, you did tell me that, Charlie.
Yeah.
Way back in the Freddie couple days?
No, it was not that far back.
Okay.
Freddie was already in, that's when he won the Houston Open, like in 2001. He won it on the members course, and he was the first Cougar to win the Houston Open, which surprised me because the history of the University of Houston's golf team in the 50s, 60s, and 70s was incredible. So
Ed Fiore never won the Houston Open?
No, he was too short. He won the Western, though.
Yeah.
He won...
beat Tiger.
Beat Tiger, then he won the Bob Hope, and he beat Tom Kite. He was good.
Yeah. Well, so that's next week. You have the best college players in the world there at Golf Club of Houston. Obviously, we have the Houston Open here coming up, you know, pretty soon, you know, there at Memorial Park. You've been over there lately, Charlie?
I have, and they've maintained it. You know, they've closed it. They're getting ready for they're going to have a $10 million prize, almost $2 million for the prize.
Yeah, that'll be March 27th through the 30th. Scottie Scheffler's already committed. You know, last year, Scheffler said that, you know, Memorial Park's played very similar to U.S. Open setup. And, you know, that would be a tough ask for Memorial Park to host the U.S. Open that time of the year. Probably never going to happen. But speaks volumes to what Jim Crane has done, you know, there for that tournament.
Right. And you know, it's a continuation of the Houston Open and the HGA did for that tournament. You know, the tournament's been playing since the 40s. Yeah. And my hat's off to Jim Crane and his guys. They've stood up and it really improved the golf course for the city, people that come to Houston want to play Memorial Park. And then the tournament is magnificent.
It's a lot more of an accessible course for inner city Houston, rather than Golf Club of Houston.
Yeah.
Even though there were so many good years. I mean, the Masters prep at Golf Club of Houston was really special.
The work we did out at Redstone for the tournament was, you know, second to none. And so golf is good for Houston.
It sure is. Let's go over where the favorites are as far as the Cognizant Classic. Shane Lowry was the tournament favorite this week. He is at 8-under in a tie for 15th. After opening rounds of 66-68, Russell Henley was the second favorite at 22-1. He is at 9-under in a tie for 10th after opening 63-70. Henley won this back in 2014, one of the best putters on tour. He'll be in the mix heading into the weekend. Sung J.M. was the third favorite at 25-1. He missed the cut, surprising missed cut there. Daniel Berger, the fourth favorite, he opened 25-1. He is at 11-under in a tie for third after opening 63-68. Lives up the road in Jupiter and has three top five finishes at the Cognizant over his career. Charlie, Daniel Berger, this is a guy maybe the new fan is not that familiar with, just because he was, you know, out for a couple years with a pretty bad back injury. This was a five-time PGA Tour winner that last won in 2021 at Pebble Beach. And, you know, these first four tournaments of the year has been playing very solid. I expect him to be there on Sunday, you know, at PGA National.
Yeah, I do too. Berger is quite a competitor. You know, his dad was a great tennis player, and he's a very good competitor, and he's got his health back. and he's hitting a lot of good shots.
Yeah.
He hit a shot yesterday. The ball was stuck in the mud. That I'm surprised it came out, but he saved, you know, a bogey. So he's a gamer.
Yeah, that was there on the 11th, Charlie. That's a scary approach.
11th is another hard hole. Yeah. I mean, that's
when they tuck that pin right, you get to win Indy a little bit, water short. No joke.
No fun.
You mentioned Jay Berger. You know, he's now a great tennis coach. And what's funny is Matt Kuchar's son, Cameron, is a great tennis player, and his coach is actually Jay Berger.
Small world.
No, it is. It is. And then, you know, those last two favorites on the board to start the week were Sepp Straka and Taylor Pendrith. Straka is at 8-under in a tie for 15th after opening with a pair of 67s. Former Georgia alum, won his second career PGA Tour event at the American Express earlier this spring. And then Taylor Pendrith was the last favorite, and he missed the cut. Charlie, before we go to break, you have business owners who are looking for better HR performance, better service as far as payroll is concerned, and I think you have a place where they can go.
We sure do, and it's Insperity, a company that is started in 1986 and has grown to $7 billion. It's a wonderful, wonderful company that helps small businesses increase their bottom line, take care of their employees the right way, the benefits. So if you're in the market for some help in your HR department in your business and you want to grow to a different level, Insperity is a company to better check out. They are, you know, kind of like in golf. The good players have a good caddy. And if you want to be a good businessman and have a good caddy, a person that's going to really look after what you're doing and how you can do it better, HR is the company that Insperity has turned the company into an incredible success, right, Will?
Since 1986, Charlie.
86.
You know, you told me, you know, and what's really amazing is, you know, that when you look back at the history and how it relates to golf, I mean, Arnold Palmer, you know, was such a big part of the start of Administaff and what's now Insperity.
That's exactly right. And Arnold Palmer was a winner, and he knew. He met Paul Sarvadi and his team, and he was their spokesman, and he was really, you know, happy he did, because they helped his businesses and then his tournament. So it's success all the way.
No, it is. It is the best HR company in the country by far. For business owners looking for better HR performance, better payroll services, visit Insperity.com. Hire them to take care of all that for you. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Charlie, we talked about your friend Freddie Couples before the break. He was this year's recipient of the Royal Seattle Sports Legend Award. So he's going in the Seattle Sports Hall of Fame. He had Jim Nantz there to honor him. I think a lot of people forget Freddie's from Seattle.
Freddie is really quite a person. He really, you know, he is so talented. And when he came into the University of Houston and started playing golf and showed everybody his great swing, a little contrived, but, you know, he was a good baseball player. He was a good shortstop. He could play the game. And he played good for Coach Williams. And then he helped me out at Houston Country Club, along with he helped Dick at River Oaks. He caddied. He made friends with everybody.
While he was in college?
While he was in college. Yeah. And he was really quite a success story. And he and Jim Nantz, you know, they used to practice the accepting the green jacket in the dorm at University of Houston, because Jim was definitely earmarked to be one of the best broadcasters of his time.
Yeah.
And it's proven, you know, basketball, football, golf, Olympics. He's done it all. So to have the two go up to Seattle and receive that award, and I know Freddie, you know, he breaks down quite easily, but he was – what a success story.
Freddie said, there's no speech here. This is just chit-chatting. All I'm going to do is listen to Jim say, yeah, you're correct. Now, that tempo Freddie Couples had, I know you've told me he worked – maybe has worked with Paul Marchand for forever. Was that tempo always very
always very good? His swing, you know, wasn't perfect. So he had this huge big shoulder turn and getting the club behind him, and so he had to do it with tempo, timing, and rhythm. He couldn't get fast with his swing, and it was a good iron player. He hit the ball so solid every time, and it's just a gift from God.
You talk a lot about the way those players at U of H back in the day really helped you out, helped Dick Harmon out, caddying, you know, maybe with carts. I did a lot of that in college myself at Vaquero in Fort Worth, and I just thought it was a pivotal experience for me as far as, you know, learning how to interact with those in the golf community. And I think it's important for the junior golfer going to college to get into that wherever they are, wherever they may be at school.
Yeah, and they would help my junior program and come out and be with the kids and joke with them and play with them. You know, Freddie was just a grown-up kid, and with Blaine and Jim. And so, yeah, it was all a great experience for everybody involved, from the you know, the membership. They loved seeing Freddie and Paul Marchand and Blaine McAllister. They'd do exhibitions on the first tee for me during the member guest, and then to go out in the professional world and win. It was a, you know, magnificent way to promote the game of golf. Everybody wanted to know, you know, Freddie. Everybody wanted their daughters to marry Freddie. And, Freddie, Mary's hadn't gone very good for Freddie.
Well said, Charlie, and great stuff there. I mean, that's history unlike any other.
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
That was a good
segue. It is to have, you know, you had one of the best golfers of the 90s there. I mean, ended up winning the 94 Masters. And
he was number one.
Yeah. Blaine McAllister, four-time PGA Tour winner. Six times. My apologies. I met Blaine.
And then we finished second together in the team championship.
That's right. That whole replay is on YouTube.
That's it.
You had pink pants on in the final round.
Did I really?
Yeah. Hold out for eagle. I think it was the 14th, wherever course you were.
No. I held out for eagle on Saturday.
Second round.
Third round. Shot of the day.
ESPN top 10.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what it was. It wasn't the final round.
No.
That second round. What course was that? Do you remember?
That was the Plantation course over in Florida, I believe.
Anyways, second in a PGA Tour event alongside Blaine McAllister. So
Blaine, yes.
Just special times, ones I would have loved to be there for. You know, they're at HCC and you know, down the road. Three amigos, you know, yes. Y'all did some great things. Let's get to some questions, Charlie. This is Ryan in North Shore. Charlie, I'm out in Palm Beach this week watching at PGA National and saw Jake Knapp warming up with alignment rod between his belt loops. Would that help my game?
Well, I don't know what your swing is, but what he is doing with that rod is getting his hips aligned correctly to start a golf swing, but then making sure that he turns his hips out of the way to start the downswing, and get that the rod pointing to the left of his target before his downswing really starts. And that is, it creates lag, it creates good footwork. You've got to do that. You can try it, but be careful. it sometimes can get caught in one of your arms or something like that. I don't want you to hurt yourself.
Yeah. You don't want it
whenever you're using a device like that, it's swinging 3/4 speed.
Yeah.
So you can feel it and you can, make it do. If it goes left real quick, that means your hips are turning. And that's the hitting power source of a good golf swing.
I find it very hard to create that little shallow motion in the transition when that rod is back there.
Yeah.
You know, if you are hitting the rod in the transition, is that a bad thing? Because if you look at Sergio's swing and how much he shallows, wouldn't he nail that rod on the way down?
Yeah, he wouldn't use that rod.
Yeah.
You know, it's just certain swings that need to use that as an example to make the hips turn quicker than you're used to.
Okay, yeah. No, great work there, Charlie. I also saw, a glove under Knapp's right armpit. During his warm-up, he was hitting balls on the range. What's that about?
Well, Mr. Hogan and his great wisdom in his book, he liked to keep that right elbow down and in, and so that he can keep the club on a shallower plane and come from the inside. And if he had that elbow flying like a Jack Nicklaus, if it didn't close at the right time, you're going to hit a bad shot. So the keeping the right armpit close to your body and turn your torso, and then the torso turns the club to square at impact is a good way to approach the golf ball from the inside and shallow.
Yeah, wow. Hey, he's got a lot going on. I mean, as far as the glove and the alignment rod, it's amazing he can piece those two things together.
Yeah.
I had one more question on Knapp, and I had some audio to go with this one, but amazing, Charlie. And we talk about tinkering with the equipment. Knapp shot the 59 with a brand new putter in the bag.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Sometimes, there was a – and I always, when I tell this story, I always forget the professional. It was from San Antonio, and he missed a 3-foot putt on the last hole and cost him a lot of money. And so he tied his putter to the back of his car, and he drug it home. He said that a putter needs some discipline. You don't have to go that far, but sometimes something new will spark a good feel, and people will run with it. And in this case, it produced quite a golf score.
Unbelievable. I mean, and he putted amazing in that opening round 59, and then, not to get too statistical, but in that second round 71, he ended up, he was actually one of the worst putters in the field yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing how that can go back and forth.
Everybody will say this, and it's if you shoot a below 64 score, it's hard to follow that score with another good score.
Yeah.
I remember... the times that I'd shot a real good one, and you wake up and says, now wait a minute, don't go out and blow it, and so you overthink the second round. But
he said it was a new experience for him. Well, that second round, never happened. He obviously never shot 59 anywhere.
Yeah,
and said it was an eerie feeling on the first tee having to go back that up.
Yep.
Next question is from Rich and Katie. Charlie, did you get a chance to watch Aldridge Potgieter last week at the Mexico Open? He is the new longest hitter on tour, and I'm wondering if there's anything he does with the driver that I can implement in my game.
Well, he seems to be a big, really a
huge,
big kid. 220, 6 foot plus.
Yeah. About 6'2".
So if you have and that's not true in all cases, you have to be real big to hit the ball a long way. I mean, there's some, Freddie Couples was slender and he can hit it 320 with a wooden club. He plays golf like a kid still.
Yeah.
And he just winds up and hits it, and wherever it goes, it goes. But Nicklaus was the same way, you know, our philosophy back then in the 50s and 60s is hit the ball as far as you can and go find it.
Yeah.
And
it looks like Pac Eater, you know, in the transition is really pushing up off the ground.
Oh yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And Nicholas did that. We all did that. But
that's a tough move to really teach, isn't it?
No, not really, not really. It's just like a baseball swing. You stride into the golf ball, so you got to learn to use your feet, hips, and you know your knees, foot, knee, thigh.
Yeah.
You know, make it turn. That's you know, you watch Nolan Ryan throw the baseball, and his stride towards the hitter is just incredible.
Yeah.
And that creates a lot of lag in his arm behind, and that pop when he releases that forearm forward and twists it, you know, the golf swing's the same thing.
It's like Tom Seaver on the mound, Charlie. That Ooh. Right knee touching the ground.
Yeah.
It's so extended.
Yeah.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Great little golf comparison there. We got to take a quick break. On the other side, we'll do some picks for the Cognizant Classic. Also, Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth, not currently in the Arnold Palmer Invitational next week. We had a couple other players get some sponsors exemptions, but Ricky and Jordan, they're going to have to go earn it this weekend there in Palm Beach. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
And not only do you have the PGA Tour coming to Houston here at the end of March for the Houston Open, presented by Texas Children's Hospital, but also, you know, and you also have the LPGA Major, the Chevron Championship there at Carlton Woods. But at the end of April into early May, April 28th to May 4th, get on out to the Insperity Invitational presented by United Healthcare. You have 78 PGA Tour champions, professionals playing 54-hole stroke play Friday through Sunday. Scott Dunlop is your defending champion. And if you can't make it out to the Woodlands, or you're listening from another city, 3 days of tournament coverage will be on Golf Channel Friday, May 2nd to Sunday, May 4th. It'll include 6 hours of national and international coverage that reaches over 77 million U.S. households. And, I mean, this is really, Charlie, you know, not only do you have the legends there, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino, which, you know, watching them over the last 3 years has completely changed my life. I mean, seeing Lee Trevino go about his business doing the little shuffle before he pulls it back and talking to you. I mean, there's not a much better week to be on the range at a big-time event.
Oh, the Champions Tour is such a great, great venue because the pros come in, you know, it's the second time around. They're jovial. They're having fun. They're playing with their buddies of yesteryear, and you can get up close and personal, and we're raising money for charity. We're you know, and it's free.
Yeah. Free for the public. Charlie.
Free for the public. So come on out, spend the day on Saturday and Sunday. We raise money for breast cancer. We, you know, there's so many different ways you can benefit from coming out and watching the great champions of yesteryear, and Insperity puts on a hell of a show.
And you know, especially make sure to be out there on Saturday. You know, that's when the Folds of Honor Greats of right. Golf competition is, and it's amazing how much Folds of Honor does for the game. But you know, you hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, it's free for the public. You know, you get to watch the best legends, you know, as far as, you know, Ernie Els and John Daly and Vijay Singh and Bernhard Langer, who's won the Invitational 4 times. You know, it's great stuff, and all net tournament proceeds benefit local Houston charity. So April 28th to May 4th, get on out to the Woodlands Country Club. Come watch him golf. Charlie and I will be out there. You know, it's a great show. Scott Dunlop's a defending champion. A lot of the new names on the Champions Tour have been you know, kind of founded at the Insperity Invitational. I mean, Stephen Alker.
You know,
here's a guy who, you know, grinded on many tours in the Korn Ferry Tour through most of his 20s, 30s, and 40s, and you know, kind of made a name for himself there in 2022 when he won the Insperity Invitational for the first time, and he's won, you know, 8 Senior Champions Tour events since. And, you know, is now a senior major champion, you know, won the 2022 senior PGA. So always a great field, Charlie.
Always a great field, always a great tournament. The golf course is excellent for spectators. It's one of the first spectator-friendly golf courses where people could stand on the sides of the fairways and be a little higher and get a better view. So come out and have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
If you see me, I'll buy you a beer.
There you go. Hey, you know, Mark Calcuvecchi has got a big time. You know, it's funny. Golf Week reported this morning. Calc's out at PGA National for pump for the Cognizant Classic, and you know, he was quoted yesterday saying this spectating stuff isn't cheap. It's $13 for a Corona Light, $12.45 for a glass of wine. Calc's furious.
Come on, Calc, you can afford it.
Yeah. You know, as far as what to expect, well, really a major headline, Charlie, as far as next week Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yes.
You know, this is obviously a tournament that's near and dear to your heart with how close you were with Arnold Palmer. But very interesting, you know, Sam Saunders, his grandson, who is now doing some commentating, had a pretty solid career on the PGA Tour. You know, he's in charge of all the sponsors' invites, Charlie, and it's a tough decision now that these signature events have been cut down to 70 players.
Yep.
Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler did not get sponsors' exemptions for this year's Arnold Palmer, and instead it was given to the Bermuda Championship winner Rafael Campos from Puerto Rico. And one thing Saunders said was Campos had the best handwritten letter of anybody, and acknowledging what this tournament meant and what a privilege it was to be in the field. And this was all over, you know, I mean, Saunders said, obviously, you know, Campos won a PGA Tour event in the fall. So, number one, he's deserving because of that. But it sounded like that handwritten letter just went a very long way with the committee.
Well, the committee is, you know, the legacy of Arnold Palmer will always be a primary thought on the PGA Tour because of what Arnold Palmer did for the professional golfer and for him to his grandson Sam Saunders, you know, he's right there personally, and so he's honoring his granddad at the same time. So I got to know the young man from Puerto Rico, and I'm
Campos.
Happy they did that. Yes, yeah.
Good guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Charlie, what was your first time around Bay Hill, and was it with Mr. Palmer?
You know, no, it wasn't. I was actually taken over there by some friends, and this was early on in when Arnold Palmer bought the facility, and they didn't know what to do with it, but they built a nice hotel type of deal, and so that's. But I've had breakfast there and lunch with Arnold, and that was really good.
What's your best memory with him?
Best memory with him. Best memory with him is he flew to Buenos Aires to play in the World Cup, and my mother was on that flight.
Wow.
And she got to talk to him because he liked talking to pretty women, you know. But, you know, he was, you know.
Golf's Elvis.
Yeah, and then I got to see him during the tournament. So that was the start of my love affair with this whole thing called golf.
Yeah, and really without Mr. Palmer, we wouldn't be talking about golf on entertainment, you know, waves and networks like this.
No.
I mean, he started Golf Channel. And
on ET.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, no. As far as weekend picks, we got 3 minutes, Charlie. We got a couple minutes. Okay, the leaderboard at the Cognizant Classic. You've got Jake Knapp in the lead by one over Matthew Pavon, great European player. Pavon, you know, came here, qualified for the PGA Tour last year through the DP World Tour, and won his first event at Torrey Pines at the Farmers Insurance in 2024. He'll be one shot of Knapp in that final group, and then you've got really a great group of players there at 11 under and a tie for third. Michael Kim, Daniel Berger, Doug Gim, Jesper Svensson, And then at 10 under and a tie for seventh is Zach Johnson and Ricky Fowler, along with Taylor Montgomery. And then a tie for 10th is Ben Griffin, Luke Clanton, Bryce Garnett, Russell Henley, and Brian Harman at 9 under par. Charlie, a lot of PGA Tour winners atop this leaderboard. Michael, Jake Knapp, you know, obviously in the lead. He won the Mexico Open last year. Michael Kim is a PGA Tour winner. Daniel Berger, you know, Zach Johnson, Ricky Fowler. Who do you think closes it out this week at PGA National?
PGA National, I hope the 59 wins.
Jake Knapp. Wire to wire.
Yeah.
He's going to close it out. I'm going to go with my pick to start the week. I'm going to say Daniel Berger gets back in the winner's circle for the first time since 2001, starting out two shots back, opened at 25 to 1, now 6 to 1 heading into the weekend. I like Daniel Berger to go ahead and win this golf tournament. Much overdue. Great player, Berger. All right, we got to go. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie, great show. Thank you, Abigail, behind the ones and twos.
Abigail, thank you.
We'll see you next Saturday at the midway point of the Arnold Palmer Invitational.